Hello, welcome to the Monday, December 30th, 2013 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm there recording from Jacksonville, Florida. On Sunday, OpenSSL.org was defaced and then not available for a while. Now, at this point, there is a statement up by the OpenSSL team stating that they verified the site was actually compromised, but the source repository was not affected, and they verified that. They also say that in a future statement, they'll provide more details as to how the compromise occurred. Just a good reminder to always verify your sources when you download them. Make sure you look for digital signatures, not just for hashes that are being posted to the same site as you downloaded that particular file from. And on Friday, we had a diary by Basil talking about NTP reflective attacks. These attacks are somewhat similar to what we have seen with DNS, and occasionally NTP is used as a way to amplify denial of service attacks. The basic principle is very similar to DNS. So you send a UDP request to an NTP server. Of course, the source address is spoofed, and then the reply will be a lot larger than the request. In this particular case of NTP, the command that's being used is monlist. A monlist returns a list of all the clients that are connected to a particular NTP server. And if you think your standard corporate NTP server easily has a few hundred NTP clients connected to it, so the response can be tens of kilobytes in size. Overall, I don't see them as much as DNS attacks, in part probably because there are not that many open NTP servers out there, and also NTP is a little bit easier blocked from a network than DNS, but nevertheless, the attack is certainly valuable and a problem. As a result, please make sure that your NTP server, if you expose it to the internet, does not support this monitor command. In the standard sort of ISC NTP server, all you have to do is disable monitor. If you add this to the config file, then it will disable the command. Also for nmap, there's a little script available that will check if your NTP server is vulnerable to this problem, or you can just use any NTP client. For more details, just see Basil's article. But let's see what we have in other news. Currently, the Chaos Computer Congress is going on in Berlin. So we do have one interesting article that I came across today from this Congress, and it's about micro SD cards. Micro SD cards, or SD cards in general, are usually seen as essentially, well, just memory. But it turns out that they actually include a microcontroller and firmware in order to deal with all the defects and other issues that come up as you try to use flash memory. In this talk, what was shown is that it's actually possible to exploit this firmware and then load custom firmware into these memory cards. And as a result, of course, you could now hide malware within the memory card. I could envision something that will either, for example, listen for certain command segments being transmitted to the memory card, or maybe infecting binaries as they're being moved to and from the memory card with additional malware. But beyond that, it's really just up to the creativity of the attacker to figure out what to do with firmware access to these SD cards. At this point, of course, there isn't really any great way to detect if the firmware has been altered on any of these memory cards. The one example they show here, the one controller they played with in more depth, doesn't really have much protection when it comes to firmware flashing. The only thing it's looking for is a certain magic byte sequence at the beginning of the firmware, and then it's pretty much up to whoever wrote the firmware to load whatever they want. So there's no digital signing or anything like this happening. And apparently the Google service FeedBurner is being used to distribute malware. In this case, it's not really a defacement per se. FeedBurner allows you to upload RSS feeds or feeds in general to distribute them. Now, in this case, instead of uploading an RSS feed, the attacker just uploaded malicious JavaScript and then distributed it via FeedBurner. The problem here is that many networks whitelist these trusted sites like FeedBurner. Another example here that has been used in the past would be Google Code, so code.google.com, or services like SourceForge. The problem again here is that many people trust those domains, even though the actual owner of the domain, like for example Google, doesn't really have much influence over what is posted. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.